Epilogue. The farewell tour kicked off on the 8th of September 2018 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. David had pulled together exactly the lavish celebration I wanted. There was an incredible set, and he had commissioned a series of amazing films to accompany the songs. Animations that made the cover of Captain Fantastic come to life. Old footage of me from every stage of my career and edgy films made by contemporary artists. Tony King was on hand to cast his eye over them and ensure they all looked perfect. Half a century after he first wafted into my life, looking extraordinary, I still trusted his aesthetic sense implicitly. The reviews were incredible. The last time I'd had notices like that, I had a full head of hair, and the critic had to spend half the piece explaining who I was. The loveliest thing was the sense of affection about them, a real sadness that I decided to stop touring, that an era was drawing to a close. Midway through the first dates, I saw a rough version of the biopic Rocket Man for the first time. David was visibly incredibly nervous about my reaction. I knew that Taron Egerton was the right man to play me when I heard him sing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. He managed to get through it without threatening to murder anyone or screaming about Engelbert Humperdinck, which was certainly an improvement on the first time I sang it. I'd invited Taron to Woodside and chatted with him over a takeaway curry, and I let him read some of the old diaries I'd kept in the early 70s to give him a sense of what my life was like then. Those diaries are inadvertently hilarious. I wrote down everything in this incredibly matter-of-fact way, which just makes it seem even more preposterous. Got up, tidied the house, watched football on TV, wrote Candle in the Wind, went to London, bought a Rolls Royce, Ringo Starr came for dinner. I suppose I was trying to normalise what was happening to me, despite the fact that what was happening to me clearly wasn't normal at all. But I kept away from the set and tried to avoid looking at the rushes. The last thing you want is the person you're playing gawping at you while you're pretending to be him. But watching the film was like the first time I saw Billy Elliot all over again. I started sobbing during the scene set in my gran's house in Pin Hill Road, where my mum and dad and gran are singing I Want Love. That was a song Bernie had written about himself, a middle-aged man with a few failed marriages behind him, wondering if he'll ever fall in love again. But it could have been written about the people who lived in that house. It felt right, and that was the really important thing to me. It's the same as this book. I wanted something my kids could watch or read in 40 years' time and find out what my life was like or what it felt like to me. When the farewell tour was announced, a number of journalists had written pieces suggesting there was absolutely no way I would really retire. They supported this argument with extensive knowledge of my history and impressive psychological insights into my character. Tried to retire before, addictive personality, born entertainer, music obsessive. They could have supported it even more strongly by repeating what I'd said at the press conference, which was that I had no intention whatsoever of actually retiring from music or even live performances. All I said that I wasn't going to schlep around the world anymore. One last huge tour, 300 gigs over 3 years, covering North and South America, Europe, Asia and Australasia. The kids getting a tutor and coming with us. And that's that. It isn't the end. I was excited by the fact that stopping touring would give me more time to do different things. I want to write more musicals and more film scores. I want to spend time working with the AIDS Foundation, especially in Africa. I want to stand up for the LGBTQ community there, to try and talk to politicians in Uganda or Kenya or Nigeria, and do something to change the way people are treated. I want to collaborate with different artists. I want to stage a huge exhibition covering my whole career. Maybe even think about opening a permanent museum so people can see some of my art and photography collections. I want to spend more time making albums and to make them in a way I used to at the start of my solo career. Get Bernie to spend time writing a lot of lyrics and develop a stockpile of material. I haven't gone into the studio with a big hoard of songs to choose from since Madman Across the Water 48 years ago. I've just turned up and written on the spot, like the musical version of a painter with a blank canvas. I want to go back to writing without recording what I'm doing, the same way we made Captain Fantastic, memorizing what I come up with as I go along. I want to play live, but much smaller shows where I can concentrate on playing different material. If there's a problem with writing songs like I'm Still Standing or Rocket Man or Your Song, it's that they become so huge. They develop a life of their own and overwhelm everything else you do. I love those songs to death, but I've written other songs I think are as good as them, that exist in their shadow, and I'd like to give those other songs a moment in the spotlight. But most of all, I want to spend time being, well, normal, or as normal as I can ever hope to be. Less time on the road means more time doing the school run, more Saturday afternoons taking the kids to Pizza Express, or around Daniels, the department store in Windsor. Things the boys enjoy. Things I would once never have thought of doing. I spent my whole life trying to run away from Reg Dwight because Reg Dwight wasn't really a happy budgie. But what running away from Reg Dwight taught me is that when I got too far from him, too removed from the normal person I once was, things went horribly wrong. I was more miserable than ever. I need, everyone needs, some connection to reality. I live and have lived an extraordinary life, and I honestly wouldn't change it, even the parts I regret, because I'm incredibly happy with how it has turned out. I obviously wish I'd just kept walking when I saw John Reed chopping out coke in the studio, rather than sticking my nose in every sense of the phrase, but then maybe I had to go through all that to end up where I am now. It's not where I expected to be at all, married to a man, a father of two, both things that seemed impossible to me not that long ago. But that's the other lesson my ridiculous life has taught me. From the moment I was ushered out of a failed audition and handed an envelope of Burney's lyrics as I got to the door, nothing has ever really turned out how I thought it would. My history is full of what-ifs, weird little moments that changed everything. What if I'd been so upset by failing my audition that I dumped Burney's envelope in a bin on the way to the station? What if I'd stood firm and not gone to America when Dick James told me I should? What if Watford had beaten West Bromwich Albion that Saturday afternoon in the early 90s and lifted my spirits, so that I didn't feel the need to call a friend and beg him to bring some gay men to dinner? What if I hadn't noticed Lev at the orphanage in Ukraine? Where would I be now? Who would I be now? You can send yourself crazy wondering, but it all happened, and here I am. There's really no point in asking what if. The only question worth asking is, what's next? Acknowledgements. Thank you to everyone who jogged my memory and contributed to my amazing life.
We hope you've enjoyed this production of Me, a Macmillan Audio production for Henry Holt & Company. Executive producer for Macmillan Audio, Guy Oldfield. Directed by David Roper at Heavy Entertainment. Text copyright 2019 by HST Global Limited. Production copyright 2019 by Macmillan Audio.